What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of 5280 Nerd. I'm Micah McCartney.
And I'm Sean Porter. This is episode number 9. Thank you guys so much for joining us. How was your week, buddy?
Really good, man. Destiny came out, Taken King. I've been playing a lot of Destiny. I can't wait to talk about some of that on the podcast this week. How about you? How's your week?
Yeah, man, it's been a good week. Like I said, Taken King came out. So been playing that a lot. Just hanging out, you know, same old, same old.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, let's do a recap. Last week. Last week was an awesome episode. We had a lot of fun, me and Sean, making episode 8 because we had all those fall TV shows we were talking about. Just kind of giving you guys a heads up on the releases of shows that we enjoy. We also talked about Old Man Logan rumors again surfacing, fingers crossed. And then we also talked about the Apple event 2015. Please reach out to us. Let us know what you thought of last week, this week. Let's kick off this week. What do you think, Sean?
Let's do it, buddy. We wanted to start this week off with a new series that we haven't done before, and it's called Our Two Cents. It's basically just where both of us review things that we've read or played or watched over the last since the last time that we podcasted. This week we both had contributions to it. I guess I'll start with mine. Me and my wife went and saw The Visit, M. Night Shyamalan's new movie. It was really good. Yeah, man. I don't know if have you seen the previews or heard anything about it?
I have. I've just seen a preview for it, but it looked really good. Tell me kind of the premise of the story.
Yeah, so basically a single mother sends her two kids off to see their grandparents, her parents, that she's kind of been estranged from for the last 15 years. They had a big blowout. She left home. She got married to a guy that they didn't approve of. So they hadn't talked or spoken to each other in a while. And they finally reached back out. They really wanted to patch things up. The mom was kind of going through some stuff with a new boyfriend. So the kids wanted to go really bad to visit their grandparents and meet them for the first time. So they go and visit the grandparents. And it just, if you've seen the previews, a lot of stuff happens. It kind of gets scary. The parent or grandparents turn out to not be who they thought they were and a little crazy or whatever. So yeah, it was really good. M. Night Shyamalan, True Justice. It was a lot of twists and turns, very suspenseful. He didn't make a cameo in it. I don't remember seeing him, which was nice, I guess. It was really good. The kid who plays the little boy that's in it, his name's Ed Oxenbold, something like that. He plays the character Tyler, the younger brother. Really made that movie, man. He was super funny. He was also in Worst Day Ever or whatever, Very Bad, Horrible Day.
Oh, with Steve Carell?
Yeah. He's a little boy from that. Really funny kid. Great actor. The girl that plays his older sister, Becca, Olivia Dujange, I don't know, something like that. She was really good. The people that played the grandparents did a great job. Everybody that was in it did a phenomenal job. It was shot kind of like the girls shooting a handy cam video of the experience. She wants to become a filmmaker. So it's like shot from a handy cam perspective kind of thing. So
very cool.
Yeah. Kind of like a Blair Witch Project, that kind of thing. Right. So very creative, very good. I would definitely recommend it. I thought it was a good movie.
Awesome, man. I have a question about it.
Sure.
Some people might slam me for this, but I really liked The Village from M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
I know everyone was kind of, I don't think everyone received that movie very well. But anyway, I liked it because, you know, obviously I'm not a big fan of scary movies.
Uh-huh.
Would you say, I love The Village. Would you say it's the same as far as like scary content, or is it like a horror film where it's like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
How would you gauge, like, it's scary or suspenseful type thing?
It's very suspenseful, I would say, more than in horror film. I would say that it's close in the genre of The Village. Like I said, that that kid that plays the younger brother, Ed Oxenbold, he keeps it light enough that it's entertaining. So he's definitely comic relief in the show or in the movie. So yeah, man, I would say you would definitely be fine seeing it, man. Because I know you're fine with like suspense stuff. It's more like horror.
Oh yeah.
It's really good, man. I think it was it's easy to watch. It's funny, and it's still really suspenseful and with a hint of like horror, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. I'm really I'm just hearing your review of it right now. So
yeah.
That's really awesome, man. Thanks for going and seeing it and letting us know what you think. Well, I have something. I finally got done with Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. Sorry it took so long to our listeners. The game is massive, just absolutely massive. And me and Sean, whenever we review video games, it's a little harder because we both have full-time jobs and lives. And, you know, it's hard for us to just sit down and just, like, blast 40 hours in a video game. But I got done with it pretty fast, so... I'm just going to go over just some things, what I thought, and then I'll give the verdict at the end. Gameplay of Metal Gear Solid 5 was solid, man. Whatever path you chose, whether you wanted to go into a mission stealthy or you wanted to go into a mission just Rambo style and attack, I felt like the creators did a very good job of giving you that choice. At first, I thought, oh, you always have to do stealth. You always have to, be sneaky. And I always didn't want to be sneaky. I wanted to just run in there and shoot and kill people. And there are some tactics to it, for sure. But I gotta say, I am extremely impressed with the AI in the game. Super smart about, very challenging to fool them. I mean, footsteps, they hear... anything. I mean, it's just, they're so smart, and I've never played a game where the AI is that aware, and it really is a challenging environment. So I gotta say the gameplay is top notch. I really enjoyed this open world that they made in Afghanistan and Africa, and you have rainstorms and dust storms, and it was just a very immersive, realistic open world, more than any game I've ever played. Grand Theft Auto has an open world, but it's all very scripted. It's all like, you know, if you step in front of a car, the car is going to stop, and then you can go in and hit Y and pull the person out. Like, do you know what I mean? There's very scripted things in like a Grand Theft Auto world as opposed to Metal Gear Solid world. So yeah, the open world, they just did a great job. Every detail, beautiful. It was just amazing, the details. Like, Sean, I would wait in sandstorms to, like, sometimes just go in and get my objective and come out really quick, and I could do it in the time of the sandstorm. So that was a tactic you could use. It was amazing. You can still... It gave you a ton of content to do even after you had beaten the main... mission. So open world, amazing. One of my favorite things, Sean, about Metal Gear was the weapon selection. All the weapons were incredible. Leveling up things with your mother base so you could unlock them with your R&D department. Great, phenomenal weapons, great selection. And then the only beef I had with this was the story, Sean. It started off so strong. I know in our impressions episode a couple weeks ago, me and Sean were blown away by the hospital scene when you first start the prologue. And I got to tell you, Kiefer Sutherland, the guy who does the voice for Snake, he's also the star of 48. They didn't utilize him enough.
You mean 24?
24, I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize. 24. He's such a great voice acting talent, and he has a handful of lines, and that was very frustrating to me. You heard a lot more of other characters instead of the star actually talking and, I don't know, interacting, I felt like.
Uh-huh.
And the story, I mean, it's just kind of It just didn't, it didn't resonate with me. It didn't seem like, you know, Cypher is this villain that you're chasing, so there was a defined protagonist and antagonist, you know, in this story. But I just, for me, Sean, the story felt just a little lackluster for me. So overall, this game you can play how you want and however long you want. I've there's a lot of things that I could go more into, but I just wanted to give you a brief overview. I'm going to give it, on my rating system, I do a 1 through 10. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. Incredible game, must-play game. Just didn't really go over the top where I thought it was a masterpiece. Like, there's nothing wrong with this game. But yeah, a great game, Sean. And I know that once you beat it, you'll probably give me your 2 cents on it as well.
Yeah, man, I'm definitely, I haven't gotten all the way through it yet. But what I've played so far, I really enjoyed. I feel like, yeah, it's been a really good game. Something I really appreciated about it so far was the level of detail they put into all aspects of it, man. I thought it was really cool that there was like a scene I played and I shot a dude with a dart, which is some random bad guy, and he fell into some water and he drowned.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I was like, man, they even thought like, oh, because that's what would happen. If the guy passed out into water, he would die.
It's extremely realistic.
Oh, man. It, like, there's even, so you go back and forth to your base a lot, and you go out into missions, and you have a shower at your base, and if you don't shower every so often, like, bad guys could smell you. I thought that was...
Yeah, you get flies. Yeah.
And so it gives away your location. Yeah, they just thought about everything, man. There's even a point, like, if you go, you take a helicopter back to your base, you, like, you call it in and it comes picks you up. If you're hurt really bad when you get onto the helicopter, there's, like, it shows them getting an IV. Like, yeah. They just thought about everything. Like, really impressive, the way that they just, a lot of details that they go, they put a lot of effort into, so... Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to beating it. Man, I appreciate your review of it. Definitely was a good review, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
All right, well, that was our 2 cents this week. Hopefully we'll have some more stuff for you guys as time goes on. We want to definitely continue to review things, movies, video games, comic books, whatever we happen to dive into throughout the week. We're going to go into our news section that we always talk about. We're going to start off with Apple released iOS 9. I don't know if you had a chance to download it yet, Micah. I know...
I haven't, no.
Yeah. I did the day it came out. I did have some issues. A lot of issues have been reported with iOS 9 as far as like just having issues downloading it, I guess. Not as smooth as they've had in the past with rollouts, but you know, shit happens. So, some cool stuff. I just wanted to go over really quick, that came out with iOS 9. If you're thinking about updating, if you have an Apple, iPhone 5S, I think it's 5S and on. So if you have a 5S, a 6, a 6 plus, I even think the 5 has an upgrade as well.
The 5C,
yeah. I think the whole 5 series on. There was a couple different things. They have a new news app that allows you to select different news agencies or magazines and different things. So, like, IGN is one that me and Micah both follow because we're both very interested in video gaming. That's one of the ones you could follow on there. And it basically gives you, like, a list of news stories that are coming out through all these different categories and selections that you select, and you could, you know, thumb through them really quick and find stories that you're interested in. They also have a notes app. Well, they've always had a notes app, but they have new features added to notes. They have a checklist, so if you add a list of something, you could turn it into an actual checklist of something on your notes. So if you have a grocery list, and you could check those things off as you purchase them or whatever. You could add photos and videos, maps, web links. You can actually draw in the notepad now. So if you want to put a doodle in next to a photo that you took and add a caption there and a link, It could do all those things. And you could open it from multiple locations. So if you're in, you have Safari open and you're looking at a website, you could save that link to your notes section and then put a note in there, draw a picture around it. I'm interested in this, blah, blah. And it shares it across platform. So if you have an iMac, an iPhone, an iPad, it'll go across all those. So yeah, man, a lot of really cool stuff they came out with. Maps have some cool stuff that came out. You can now, it has like a public transportation button. So you could click it and it'll show you the buses that are nearby you, the trains, the subways, the ferries. And then it has a new nearby feature. So if you're looking for a restaurant that's nearby, you can just hit restaurants and it'll show you all the restaurants that are in your area, the ratings and the reviews. Passbook turned into Wallet, which everybody knew that was coming, which is awesome with Apple Pay feature. It just organizes your cards a little bit better. And I know soon they're going to be coming out with the ability to use store credit cards and reward cards as well in your wallet. So if you have like a Safeway card, you could store it on your phone, which would be nice. They added an iCloud app, which is really cool. You could view all the stuff that's on your iCloud straight from that app. If you store pictures or photos or videos. And they increased everybody. So if you're paying for storage, like I paid for 20 gigs a month or whatever. It was like $10, and they upped it from 20 to 50 gigs for free. Same price and everything. And I know the bigger bundles also were increased, which is really cool. Just because it kind of sucks. Even I think I have like 32 gigs on my phone. But when you have a lot of video and pictures, and we talked about last week with the new iPhone having 4K video, I think that's why they upped up the iCloud storage for everybody, because they know it's going to take up a lot of space.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And just a few more things I want to run through real quick, just because we want to let you guys know if it's worth it to you or not to go ahead and make that upgrade. You can do multitasking on iPads now, so you can have a split screen on any iPad. You can do picture-in-picture on iPad as well. Siri is way better now, way more intuitive. You could, I would say a lot more intelligent. Like, you could ask it a lot more questions. You could zoom in on videos that you're taking on your phone. You could hide photos in your photo library. So anybody that's out there taking dick pics or whatever you're doing, I don't know. I don't want to say.
This is for you.
Yeah, you could hide those
photos. Apple's thinking of you.
Yeah, all those people that had nude photos released on the internet, now you can hide them. So hopefully people don't see them. Because nobody wants, well, people probably do want to see it, but you don't want everybody to see that. So, because there's some sick people out there, folks. But yeah, so they've really upped their game as far as like security goes and storage and battery life. They say that with the new update, it increases your battery life by an hour, which is pretty impressive because their battery life was always sucked. So hopefully that's actually accurate and true. I know that there's like a power save mode once your phone goes low, and it'll like run the bare minimal it can. So it'll keep your phone alive for a little bit longer. Which is cool. But yeah, man, overall, it's just Apple trying to be a better Apple, man. And, it's a free update. I think everybody should jump on board. You know, I think you're going to get a lot more out of your phone by doing it. So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Those are a lot of cool features, especially that split screen thing. I want to check that out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Awesome, man. Thanks for running through that.
Yeah.
So next on the list, Sean, we have a new president for Nintendo, and his name is, forgive me if I missay it or mispronounce it, it's Tatsumi Kimishima. I think I said that right.
That's pretty good, man.
He is the new Nintendo president. And Sean, a lot of the internet blew up about this. It's kind of a big deal. Nintendo, from the perspective of most people in the gaming community, especially in the console wars kind of community, recognize Nintendo as falling behind. Not just, you know, obviously they aren't competitive in the console wars between Sony and Microsoft, but with the Wii, I felt like they were still relevant as far as being a household name of of gamers and knowing those video games and just being relevant in the gaming community. And I feel like with the Wii U, they have drastically let a lot of their community and their fans down. So I hopefully we'll see a resurgence with Tatsumi. And I don't know. What do you think, man?
Yeah, we actually we spoke about Iwata passing away. I believe it was like episode 3 or 4. Very sad. He did a lot for Nintendo. Tatsumi has been with Nintendo for quite a while. I think he's been part of Nintendo since 2002 and has had various jobs throughout the company, and he's finally moved up into this position. He's 65 years old. You know, he will be the fifth president of Nintendo. We talked about the last time when Iwata passed away how Nintendo has a very long history of once somebody becomes president of their company, they usually have quite a long stint as president. They're not like a lot of American companies, you know, rifle through presidents a lot sometimes because they either move on or they want to try something different or whatever. Whatever the reasons may be, that's definitely not the way Nintendo runs things. So I think he's going to be around, hopefully, and God willing, for a long time. He definitely has a passion for Nintendo. He's led up America's division of Nintendo. He was a key feature for the Wii console being developed. I think there's a guy, Shigeru Miyamoto, who
sounds right.
Yeah, he was kind of filling in for Iwata after he had passed, and he was like pretty much the guy who started Nintendo, and he was like one of the co-founders, and then he had a huge part in developing the Wii. He's becoming their creative, they call him the creative fellow, but he's like the creative director of their company now. And he's endorsed Tatsumi a ton. So yeah, man, I think it's going to be good. I think anytime you're able to promote from within, especially a guy who has a long track record of hard work and, you know, dedication and loyalty to Nintendo, I think that's important for especially a console that, like you said, isn't leading the pack, but has a strong heritage in the gaming world and wants to become more relevant. I think you got to have somebody that's pretty passionate to take on, you know, PS4 and Xbox and all that stuff. So,
yeah, and like I said, I have pretty strong feelings about this because I did buy the Wii U, Sean.
Yeah,
I have Super Smash Brothers and Mario Kart and the new Mario Party that just came out a couple months ago. And I the Wii U is a total joke. I'm actually kind of mad that I spent the money on it because it's just not what you expect when you get it. It's just a big letdown, and I'll dive in a little bit to that. I mean, you can't play DVDs, you can't play Blu-ray, you can't play any of that, which is kind of ridiculous. I found that super inconvenient. The thing is, the graphics have not changed at all from the Wii, at all. And as a gamer and somebody who loves those games, I find that completely unacceptable, especially with the technology of how far Microsoft and Sony have come with PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. It's out there. There's no reason for them to not be competitive. They owe it to their fans for their loyalty to put out a better product than that. It just seemed lazy, like, oh, we'll just put out another Wii and people will buy it, and I guess we'll figure something out along the way. And I don't mean to be bashing Nintendo, but at the same time, if anyone has a Wii U, I know that you got to share some of my feelings on that. I mean, it was just kind of a big letdown. So I'm worried about Nintendo's future. Because if they release another Wii U or something similar to like that that isn't competitive, Sean, I guarantee they're going to be in trouble. I guarantee that they're going to lose a lot of consumers out there. So
yeah, I mean, I feel like they definitely are a niche. I don't think they have any intentions on trying to necessarily compete with PlayStation or Xbox. The thing that they have for them that nobody else has is they have license to characters that everybody love. You're not going to ever see Smash Brothers on PlayStation. You're never going to see Smash Brothers on Xbox. They keep their characters very close to their chest. They keep their properties, which is smart on their part because that's what's allowed them to stick around as long as they have. I know Iwata had started before he had passed away, working on mobile gaming and bringing those characters to smartphones. I know they partnered with like a site called DNA, is a mobile company that I know Tatsumi said he was very interested in working with and still wants to pursue those things. A big part of their niche, I guess, too, is fitness and health. With like they had like the Wii board or whatever you like worked out on or whatever.
Right.
So I think those two things are their big focuses. And if they could bring like Mario Brothers to an iPhone, I think they're going to kill the market because everybody loves Mario. So, you know what I mean?
Right. But my only beef is what I'm saying is they're remaking the same product over and over again and calling it a different name.
Sure.
I mean, that's just a fact.
Yeah.
And they can't ride the nostalgia wave forever because people love Mario and people love Yoshi and all these characters, of course. I mean, Metroid Prime and Zelda, yes, they're all very beloved characters, and that's why people keep buying it. But I'm telling you right now, if they just keep putting out the same product over and over again, they're just going to have to move to the mobile gaming market and get out of the console wars altogether. And that would make me sad. I think that they could compete if they just put a little more work and a little more thought and creativity into a well thought out console. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I see your point to an extent. I think that they could do a little bit better of a job of creating, you know, some new graphics and maybe some new stories and lines like that. But, you know, I mean, the fact of the matter is, though, that they still sold a ton of Wii U's. I mean, you bought one and a ton of people across the world bought them. You know, so it's not like it's crushing their company doing what they're doing. And I think a lot of people, especially, you know, as our generation gets a little older, we get a little bit more money and we kind of strive for the memories of being young, like our parents before us. You know, I think we're going to see a lot more of a resurgence of nostalgic games. And I think you can look over the last 5 years, I feel like I see all the time people talking about original Nintendo systems, and like they made all these, there's companies that build new systems that play old Nintendo games that are able to connect through HDMI, and even Xbox in their store just released like a huge bundle of vintage games that was like $30, and they sold a ton of them. Like, it was one of the top sellers in their store right now.
So
I think I think nostalgia definitely still has its place, and I think it'll keep Nintendo around for a very long time to come. But yeah, it would be nice to see some new stuff come from them as well. So.
Yeah, and we'll see. I think if they come out with another console and it has the same or less success than Wii U, I think they're going to strictly move to handhelds like the DS or mobile gaming. I know they just came out with that new Pokemon game on your phone. Essentially, you go through just a quick overview. You go in the real world, and it's like on a maps feature where you find Pokemon, and they have a little Pokeball clip you can put in your pocket or wherever on your wallet or whatever, and it vibrates whenever you're near a Pokemon. So you just look on your phone, and they're located on a real life map inside the game. So just kind of a little overview of that. It looked kind of cool, but at the same time, I think that I agree, Sean. I think mobile gaming for Nintendo, and they've been pretty vocal about it as well, but that's going to be a big part of their future.
Yeah, so I think we'll see. Said in that way for sure. I mean,
yeah,
I could definitely see a future where gaming is just as relevant on a phone as it is on your, you know, your TV. So
who knows? We got hoverboards now, so
shit, yeah, we do.
Yeah, we'll see, man. I really hope Tatsumi can overcome any adversity to bring Nintendo back to the masses. So
we're behind you, Tatsumi. Don't let us down.
Don't let us down, buddy. I'm sure okay, so
Nintendo's listening to our podcast, so
they're hanging on the edge of their seats right now.
Don't sue us because we said Nintendo on our podcast. Either Nintendo,
yeah.
Don't be dicks. Break.
Moving right along, we were talking about the Taken King. The Taken King dropped Tuesday. Man, the hype was so real, Sean. For months, bro. I was itching to get my hands on some new Destiny content. It was way too long. Right before the Taken King, they had the 2.0 update. We talked a little bit about that. But now that we've played it, we have so much to talk about. But first, Sean had informed me that PlayStation history was made. Destiny was the most downloaded day one game ever. That's pretty impressive, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think, you know, we've talked about this also before in previous podcasts, that the world of downloading and digital content is becoming more and more relevant. PlayStation just broke a benchmark, I guess, in their sales that, you know, Taken King and Destiny just hitting new numbers that they haven't seen before, so... you know,
yeah, and I've heard on multiple occasions that from different websites that Destiny is the most played game on PlayStation. So I don't know how many people play on Xbox One, but I know it's very, very predominant in PlayStation 4. So
for sure, man. So what were your thoughts so far on the Taken King?
Well, I really enjoy the 2.0 meta. I gotta say, the balancing overall is pretty good. I'm not saying it's perfect. I really was bummed that they nerfed hand cannons. I feel like the range, you're feeling the range a lot more in strikes now and in player versus player. They did put a shorter magazine size in as well for hand cannons, but that's not for all. Every hand cannon is different. But yeah, Sean, I don't know about you, but I can feel the range drop off on those weapons. I'm really glad that auto rifles are back and here to stay. I've used a Suros Regime, I've used Hard Light, used a lot of auto rifles, and they're powerful. They're back again. So that's good to have that variety. So what about you, Sean? What do you think?
Yeah, man, I definitely agree with everything you said so far. It's been really interesting. I feel like the 2.0 upgrade was awesome. I feel like there's a lot of new facets of the game that I was hoping for have come to light, as far as like just a lot more opportunities to advance your character and grow your character from being able to advance your ghost and actually build up him and his strength, and then also through your weapons. In some ways, it's gone the opposite direction. A lot of your year one weapons are pretty much irrelevant now. Your exotic weapons, still, you could upgrade to year two, some of them you can't. So that side of it was kind of frustrating a little bit. It kind of felt like the work that I put in for year one, which I had a lot of fun doing, so I can't complain too much, was kind of for naught, because it's pretty much worthless after 2.0. Taken King, the storyline has been awesome so far, and Micah and myself want to do a full review of the story maybe next week or something. But yeah, just a quick first thought and look at it. I'm really enjoying it so far. The graphics, I feel like, are better almost. The Taken are amazing. The story's great. The graphics are phenomenal. So, yeah, man, I'm really enjoying it so far.
Good, good. Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Like, me and Sean, when we were playing, our first initial thought when we were in a party, we were like, are the graphics like 10 times better? Yeah. Like, the graphic, like, the whole, the Dreadnought was just absolutely stunning.
There's like almost a new polish to it. Like, it's weird.
Oh my gosh. It just every detail looks, the definition of everything just looks so much more crisp and clean. And the lighting and the, you know, the creepy lighting, the lighting that lights up while you walk through some halls, and a lot of good things. I mean, I was very impressed with this, with how it looks. But yeah, I've actually already beaten all the story missions for the Taken King. I thought it was too short, but it's okay. They gave the story, they did a much, much better job with characters, Sean. I know you agree with me. Commander Zavala and, you know, all the characters are just way more colorful, and you're actually getting to know them now. The cutscenes were actually fun to watch. They weren't just like confusing mess, like, okay, so what does that mean? You know what I mean? So yeah, I really enjoyed the story. My only beef is it was too small, too short. I just wish it had a couple more hours left in it. It probably took me about 4.5-5 hours to beat the story. So, but yeah, there's also a ton of content besides the story.
A ton of content outside the story.
Yeah, just the story missions took me that long. Yeah. So, but what did you think about the story, Sean? Did you enjoy it?
I haven't finished it yet. I'm getting pretty close. I think I'm on the last actual mission, episode, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I thought it was really good. I do feel like it was a little bit short, but again, it's just an expansion. It's not like I didn't buy a new game. I just, you know, paid to get some more content and some new story. But the story is phenomenal from the get-go, from the intro video to the outro. It's just, it's been good so far. Some things I thought it would be, I wanted to bring up, I guess like a couple essentials for the game and gameplay, you know, that I found that were important, and just in reading when I was playing and trying to find stuff that would help me get through it better. They have the level 25 character boost, which is cool for your side characters. I had a character that was like level 9, so it was nice to get them up to 25 because it goes up to 40 now, which is a long stretch if you're starting at 2 or whatever. So that's nice if you're year 1, that helps. You definitely want to earn Motes of Light, which kind of were irrelevant before, and I feel like they're actually important now. Helps with your light inventory and your menu. With some other stuff. You want to stack up on bounties. You have a lot more space for bounties. And so those get you a lot of rep with your faction and your like if you're a hunter, all that stuff. So it's a lot more important now, your faction and everything, than it was before.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I think you have 16 slots now, and before you had 8. So I think they literally doubled the bounty slots. But yeah, the bounties are fun. I feel like they're a little more realistic. I hated, you know, stupid bounties where you had to kill 2 enemies at one time with a fusion rifle 20 times. It's like, that was horrible bounty and no one ever wanted to do it.
And that kind of that gameplay got eaten up by quests are a lot bigger thing now. So there's like bounties.
That's
quests.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I was just going to say. I was going to say bounties now are much more realistic, like get 30 precision kills. And those are fun. That's easy. You can just do while you do a strike or whatever. So I feel like the new format of bounties is great, but also what they're actually telling you to do in the bounties are great. But yeah, pretty much it's predominantly quests, Sean. You get quests from Commander Zavala. I'm forgetting the name of the head warlock, and I'm totally drawing a blank right now, but it doesn't matter. You can get from all of the vendors, you can get quests. And I feel like that's more fun than bounties and much more rewarding as well.
Yeah.
And Bungie's done a good job too, Sean, of pointing you in the right direction to do these quests. They're a lot more easy to track. When you're at your ghost screen, you can track up to 4 at a time. Very simple, very easy. That's something that was lacking.
Yeah, there's a whole new screen that is just for bounties and quests. And it's actually a really cool screen. It shows you very clearly what bounties you have, how far you are on them, what quests you have, how far along those are. It shows them all right next to each other. So before you had to kind of like slog through each bounty, each quest, and it was a lot harder to find. But now it's a lot clearer. So it definitely makes it a little more interesting and fun to do.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree, Sean. It's definitely a quality of life issue that they solved with a lot of these little things like that. Just more bounties, not as nitty-gritty, much more clear about what you need to do to get these bounties and quests done. I think Bungie really did a good job by fixing that aspect of the game.
Yeah, and they definitely focus a lot more on stats, I feel like. You have to be a lot more mindful of what stuff you're getting for your guardian, what you're equipping him with, what's going to make him or her the best guardian. So a lot more stats you have to follow, a lot more screens that you're having to take into account, especially, you know, with upgrading your ghost, with your weapons, your light level, which is a part of your overall experience level, which is a different thing now. From everything, it's a lot of stats that you kind of got to dive into and understand what they all mean and how they're going to affect and benefit you. So,
I really have enjoyed just all the looks of the menus that they've changed.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a much more polished product. This looks like what the game should have been at launch a year ago,
sure.
In my opinion. And Bungie's joked about for year one being like, Vanilla Destiny was just a meta. It was just like a download demo kind of for a year, which is not true. It's a joke, but it kind of felt like that. There's a lot of bugs with it. So, I really enjoyed the story. There's a lot of good things going on. Sean, I actually got to play two of the new strikes. And I got to tell you, it's not just run and gun now. There's puzzle aspects. I did a Resputin, a strike, and, it was a big shank is the enemy at the end. And, so you go to the Crosmodone and on Earth and you gotta go in Resputin, and the graphics are great. The enemies are awesome. There are some puzzle aspects that I welcome, cause it makes a strike definitely a lot more fun to do. I'll tell you, I can't wait to get on these strikes with Sean and do them a bunch till we can master them, you know?
Yeah, man, totally agree. I think the best description of Destiny that I've heard is Destiny is a marathon, not a sprint. You hear, like, yeah, I mean, there's definitely the people who get on and are at level 40 in the first, like, 10 minutes it's launched. But yeah, man, that's not any way to enjoy a game. Just know that it's going to take you a while to get through everything and enjoy it as you go. Because once you get through it all, it definitely lose a lot of its luster. And not necessarily just the missions, but the whole game. I mean, there's a lot, like Micah said, there's a lot of side missions and different things you could do. But yeah, man, just enjoy it. Take your time. I think that'd be my biggest advice for the game.
For sure, yeah. Slow down and enjoy it. We enjoyed the new weapons and new armor. We've gotten a ton of them so far. They've been dropping green engrams and blue engrams like crazy. Obviously, when we get further in the game, we'll just be using legendaries and exotics like we were with year one. But overall, they're great. They're awesome looking. Bungie has stepped up their game for armor and weapons. Very sleek, very polished weapons. The whole Hake, Amulon, and Suros weapon factions is very cool. I definitely give the new armor and weapons an A+ for the Taken King. How about you, Sean?
Yeah, totally. All the new designs are phenomenal. All the new just weapons and armor that you get to pick through and see. We talked about how it was kind of a bummer that year one weapons and armor were pretty much useless, but they definitely made up for it in the variety that they added, so it definitely makes it funner again.
Yeah, no, I agree. Overall, Actually, Sean, Zer came, and we were talking about, I wonder if he's going to sell Taken King exotic gear and all that. But, yeah, Zer still comes around and still takes strange coins. I bought my first exotic for and it was actually Taken King gauntlets. And so I was really glad that they didn't make us wait forever for that. They just, first week, they're like, here's some Taken King exotics. You can buy them if you have the strange coins. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll fill you guys in on more stuff as we kind of get through it, and we'll definitely be talking about Destiny for a long time to come. Like Micah had mentioned, it's the most played game right now, and we both enjoyed a lot. So definitely going to hear some more news about that. We wanted to go over two last topics, not really news, but more just our thoughts on things. We had two questions we wanted to pose to each other. So we wanted to ask, top five hero movies we'd like to see made is our first question, and our second question is top five video games we wish that would be made into movies. So we'll start with the first one. Micah, do you want to start with this one? With the top five movies you'd like to see made?
Absolutely. There's a lot of comic book stories, Sean. I would love for them to be produced on the big screen. There's so much acting talent. CGI and effects for movies have gotten so incredible now. They can just do so much. It's just a great time to be a movie lover and a movie watcher. That being said, there was a comic book series that me and Sean both loved very, very much. It was called Cowboy Ninja Viking. It was essentially a story of a schizophrenic superhero who had a cowboy in his head and a ninja and a Viking. And he had like a cowboy hat with a six shooter, but he had like a katana and an axe. So it was like he had a little piece of everything. And the art for it is incredible. If you haven't read Cowboy Ninja Viking, it's a great, great series. Definitely would recommend it to read. It might be produced, Sean. I do know that Disney did buy the rights for Cowboy Ninja Viking. I haven't heard any news about them actually producing or writing a script for it yet. But who knows? Maybe Disney will pick up the reins. What do you think about that?
Yeah, man. I've heard that rumor for a very long time. I mean, back when we first started reading it, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago even, I've heard talk of it. So hopefully I think it would be a great story. I know, I mean, it's not like the number one comic book out, but I know it has a pretty big following, so I think and its story lends itself to being a great movie. So yeah, if they could turn 300 into a movie, or any of the other comic books that we've seen that were just one-off graphic novels or whatever, I think that's just as good.
So. Yeah, yeah. So I think we both would agree we would love to see that made into a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Also, Sean, Haunt, that was another series that Robert Kirkman did. Robert Kirkman is the creator of The Walking Dead and several other amazing comic books made by Image Comics. And I would love to see Haunt brought to the screen. What do you think about that, Sean?
Yeah, man, I thought that comic book was phenomenal. Everything I read in it, I followed the series for quite a while. I thought it was really good. The story would be great. It would definitely have to be a rated R film. But
for sure, yeah.
Definitely is a little touchy on the religious side, but I thought it was really good, man. I thought Kirkman is one of my favorite writers, so can't go wrong.
Yeah, Haunt is another good one. Kind of like a, I don't know, how would you explain that story? It's kind of like a Spawn-type powers, but there's like brothers, and it is really, really well done.
It's like this guy who dies, not giving anything away, but a guy who dies, and he possesses his brother, and his brother becomes Haunt, this like superhero, kind of, I would say Spawn-ish, like... definitely rides that gray line of good and bad. Does what he has to do to get done. Kind of starts it as like a revenge story to revenge his death, but it becomes more of a hero. His brother is actually a really good guy the one that's still alive, and the guy that died was kind of an asshole. So it's interesting because it's like a combination of the two. So
yeah, Haunt would definitely be an awesome movie if somebody picked up the rights and did all these right with good actors and casted correctly. I mean, they'd be huge box office hits. But Sean, I put one in here. I don't know if you read this series. It was called Halcyon. It was done by Image Comics. It was a story. I think it was like a 7 or 8 issue story. Very cool. Just kind of the premise of this story is it's this group of superheroes on Earth, and they've eradicated all of evil. They have a system where there's no evil left on the Earth. They've either killed or locked up every supervillain ever, and they face kind of a crossroads in their lives where their purpose, they kind of feel like they don't have a purpose in life anymore, and they kind of get depressed and have to do some soul searching because literally there's no crime on the whole planet, like, ever. And some of them end up committing suicide, and then a lot of other crazy stuff happens. There's a villain in it that it's just this crazy web story that you just don't expect anything that happens. That would be number one on my list to see in movie form. I think they could really turn this into an incredible movie. So, yeah, Sean. Did you ever read that series, by the way?
You know, I remember seeing it, and I think I read the first issue, but I never got into it. So,
yeah. Yeah. So next on here, I had Joe the Barbarian. Grant Morrison is one of me and Sean's favorite writers. He's written Batman. He's written Superman. He's written some Marvel stuff. The guy is a legend in the comic book world. And he's written just some own books of his own.
Yeah.
But Joe the Barbarian, he did, I think it was IDW Comics he did it with. It was essentially, it kind of reminded me of a Neverending Story type of story. Hmm. It was about this boy who, in real life, his dad died in the military. He was like a fighter pilot, very brave, and he moved to a new town with his mom, and then all of a sudden, you find out that he has a sickness where he needs potassium, and he's fighting this sickness where he has to have like regular potassium intake or he'll like pass out. So one day there's like a storm and like he passes out because he didn't take his medicine, and he goes in this dream world, and he has a little mouse named Joe, and he goes through this adventure, and it's all in a dream, but the dream is kind of interwoven with the reality of what's going on, and I don't want to ruin the ending, but very had that feeling of like a Neverending Story type thing. You know what I mean, Sean? Just really, really cool story. If you haven't, another one I'd definitely recommend, Joe the Barbarian, I think it was another like 8 or 9 issue story. Really great. So, and then the last one I had, Sean, was We Three. Another one written by Grant Morrison. Just to give you a quick rundown, it was about three genetically modified animals by the government that they were made into super weapons, a dog, a rabbit, and a cat. Yeah, and a cat. And it just tugged at my heartstrings. It was very, like, humans going too far with modifying living things just to suit our needs for weapons and whatever. And incredible art, great story. Frank Quitely was the artist for that. Another one of my favorite artists. He did the Batman and Robin series that I love so very much, Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely. Man, if that was made into a movie, that would be an awesome action movie. So yeah, Sean, that's my 5.
Nice, man. Those are good. I definitely agreed with all those, so good work.
Yeah
man,
thanks. Man, yeah,
I think some that weren't on your list that I would like to see that I think would be cool are, I'd like to see a new Punisher movie that was good not horrible. Somebody out of the ethos of superhero movies that have done such a great job to really, really do a good Punisher movie, I think would be awesome. Yeah, man, just always been one of my favorite characters. So I think you could do a ton with that. I think another one that would be interesting is Invincible.
Oh, yeah, that was another Kirkman.
Yeah,
one.
Another Kirkman saga. Basically, kind of like a Superman-esque kind of story, superhero. Obviously, he's invincible. But yeah, his story is pretty crazy. Like, lots of twists and turns. And even recently, there's been some really crazy twists and turns. So I think that would be awesome. I think you could do a ton with that. I think a movie that was just Robin would be cool.
Yeah, no, that's yeah. That would be great. Like maybe a Damian Wayne and like Bruce Wayne's totally. Dead type
or
thing.
Like
that'd
a
be
Nightwing
cool.
Kind of movie.
Oh, don't, dude. Yeah, but you were grilling me because he was one of my top heroes.
I wouldn't say he's a top hero, but out of the movies that haven't been made yet, I think that could be an interesting story.
It would be incredible if they did a Nightwing movie.
Yeah. Another hero that's kind of, it's different, but it might lend itself better to a TV show, but Chew was another comic book that was really good. I think could be a really interesting.
I was wondering, I thought I heard rumors of that starting as a TV show on like the CW.
Yeah,
I could be wrong.
Something
but...
like that too. And I don't know what the deal was with it.
But... It'd be awesome. It's a great comic.
Yeah. No, I think it would be good. So hopefully we could see something like that. Maybe a new Spawn movie also would be cool. We had one a while back, and it was good.
It was good, yeah. I liked it.
But I think you could do something crazy nowadays, especially with bringing Deadpool into the world and showing that like a rated R movie is okay, and hopefully it does really well, and maybe that will lead to it. But yeah, I think that could be really, really cool. So
Agreed. That's a good point. I forgot about Spawn. That was a great movie.
Yeah. Those are just some mine off the top of my head. Oh, dude, what was that one? Oh, I just now thought of it, and I didn't think of it before. It's that comic series where there was a character, and he was like the anti-Superman. He was basically like if Superman was a bad guy.
Yeah. Miller wrote that. Nemesis.
Nemesis.
Wasn't it called Nemesis?
Was it? It might have been. I don't know. We'll find it, and I'll put it in the show notes. But there was this really interesting series, and I think it's still going on. But it's like basically like if Superman landed in a bad neighborhood and was raised to be just a jerk.
It is. It's called Nemesis.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes.
It was incredible. You're right. That was a great series.
Yeah, so that would be a cool movie to see, like, a bad... I guess we kind of got that with Hitchcock, but I think you could make a way better version, so...
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Man, we should have done a top 20 list of movies we'd like to see, you know, from comic books or heroes we'd like to be, you know, see them in movies. Wow, that's a great, oh man, that would be such a good movie.
Right? Just to see a jerk Superman just like robbing people and snapping necks.
Yeah.
But in like a good way? I don't know.
That'd be dope. It'd be dope. So cool. So moving along, we have top five video games we'd like to see to be made into movies. I'll just run through mine real quick.
Sure.
I know we're running low on time. Mass Effect, of course, that has to be a movie. It would kill it in the box office.
Huge.
I mean, even in the video game, it's such a big production. It just has this big feel to it, kind of Halo-esque feel. I think it's John Shepard. I know it's Shepard. I'm forgetting his first name. He's a commander, hero, fighting the world from aliens. We haven't heard that one before, but it would be dope. Another one, Metal Gear Solid. Man, that'd be cool to see Snake. Could you imagine in like movie form if they casted that right? Be awesome. And then number three for me, Destiny, of course. That would be awesome if they brought some cinematic things to that, even a TV show or something. I don't know. That'd be really great. Could you imagine if Steven Spielberg's like, I'm doing a Destiny trilogy? Like, It'd be great.
Well, we were watching we were watching the Broncos game the other day, and I was watching at my in-law's house, and my father-in-law was like, a commercial came on for Taken King, and he's like, I want to see that movie. And I was like, oh, it's a video game. And he's like, oh, stupid, whatever. But yeah, man, yeah. The trailers that they have, I think you could easily turn that into a great movie.
Yeah, well, putting Led Zeppelin in the background, who doesn't like that? Yeah. So.
For sure, man.
Yeah, man. So after Destiny, I had BioShock. It boggles my mind how this has not been made into a movie yet. Kind of an underground city made underwater that's haunted by these. It's kind of an infected thing where all these people have died, and you're kind of surviving and.
Mm-hmm.
Very creepy, very kind of apocalyptic thing, but it's in such a different way that hasn't been done before. It's not out in the open and like nuclear bombs went off or there was a sickness that outbreak. It was like this underwater utopia you find that was corrupted. And wow, that would just make an amazing, amazing movie.
Yeah.
And then finally for me, Zelda. I always was kind of boggled as well why that wasn't brought to the big screen. It's very beloved video game.
Sure.
So, how about you, Sean?
Oh man, you had some really good ones there too, man. I would say, well, Halo. I know. I mean, I feel like every year I hear that there's going to be a Halo movie, and there never is. And like, oh, they're making one. Oh, they're not making one. Or obviously would be a great movie. You know, I think that story just lends itself perfectly to it. Diablo would be a cool movie.
Oh, Diablo would be really cool.
Yeah, man. Elder Scrolls.
Elder Scrolls, yeah.
Totally, like, yeah. I think it's something that
medieval.
Yeah, it's something that could rival, like, Game of Thrones, I think.
Oh, totally.
You kind of have, I mean, you're looking at, you know, I don't know, man. There's just so much that you could do with it. It's like endless story. Fallout, I think, would be cool. Again, you're looking at post-apocalyptic stuff, but would be a cool one. You know what? Dude, I was playing the other day that I put down for a while and I picked back up. Shadows of Mordor. If they turned that into a movie and like made it like a spinoff from their trilogy or whatever that they had originally, would be an amazing movie.
100% agree. It's a prequel to the original trilogy.
Yeah.
It's kind of going on the same time, I guess. That would you say The Hobbit's going on, but it's just in a different, or was it after The Hobbit? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know exact time frame, but I know the game is amazing, so they should turn it into.
But make that movie.
Yeah. So those were mine.
Good picks, thanks, man. Those were really good, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones out there, dude. There's a ton of games, I think. I mean, it's smart that Hollywood's finally looking towards games because it has such a following already that it just makes sense that you do that. So.
Yeah, and the cool thing is, even with comic books, if we're like Steven Spielberg was talking about how superhero movies are going the way of the Westerns. Well, there's a lot of comic books that are not about superheroes. They're just like sci-fi stories.
Yeah.
It's like Cowboy Ninja Viking would be an action movie you could put like Tom Cruise in. That's not something that's necessarily like a superhero movie, I guess. Or like Joe the Barbarian. It's like a never-ending story type story. So who knows? I mean, if they would really look into these, it's not necessarily superhero-esque, all of them. So.
Yeah, and Hollywood's definitely dived into that boat as well. So, you know, I think we're going to see a lot more movies come from that. Hollywood isn't the most original place on Earth, so it's cool that they're at least picking from original people who made great comics or great video games. It's just such a good pool to pull from. So,
yeah, a lot of good content.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, that brings us to the end of another great episode. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We super appreciate it. We are really excited to announce that next week will be our 10th episode. Definitely a milestone for us.
We made it. Yeah.
Hopefully next week we're still alive and we could actually do it. But thank you guys so much for, again, joining us. If you have any questions or comments, definitely check out our website at 5280nerd.com. You can reach out to us on Twitter. You can reach out to me on Twitter at Sean H. Porter. And you can reach out to Mike at
Vash0077.
Yeah, and you could always reach out to 5280 at 5280nerd. Yeah, guys, thanks so much, and we hope you have a great week.
Thanks so much, guys. See you next time.